Well, I do bring Christian greetings to all. It's good to be here with fellow believers. My greetings will come from the Spring Hill congregation, the little town of Latham in central Missouri is where our church is at. And yeah, you've been privileged to see most of our youth group here this morning. And I'm excited that I had the opportunity to travel with them. And well, I have some youthfulness left yet. I don't know how much, because only the Lord knows when I'll be going home. But it's exciting, and thank you so much for hosting us in this way. It's a blessing to travel to places. It's good for us to see other people, see how they do it in other churches, and probably a little closer to the right than the way we do it. Whatever, but it's a blessing to be here with you this morning. So I count it a privilege to stand here. Between you and God, and it actually is something that still makes me tremble after many years, and I have no idea how many times I've preached, but it's still something that, this is a way, by the foolishness of preaching, that their salvation, and the world more and more sees that is as foolishness. And there's a number of things I could have talked about, but I've been touched and blessed by that song, the prayer of the children, that we've been singing, practicing, and I'd like to talk about that. If you want a title for the message this morning, it's the prayer of the children. And I wonder, as we think about that song and we think about children, what picture do you get in your mind of a child? Is it an infant held in somebody's hands, arms, or it's not quite what I see, because the prayer, so the infant is not able to pray, but is it a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old, or it could be many of those ages. I know it's amazing, the prayer of a 3-year-old, for example, what that can be. We've watched 5 children go through that stage in life in our home, and now we're seeing grandchildren that are a number of them, quite a few of them older than 3 already, but they're so innocent, and they hear us, and they pick up some of the things that we're worried about. We're not people that worry, are we? That type of thing. But if we have concerns in life, that they pick these things up, and it might be a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle or the things that are going on in the world. And of course, our world, I'm talking about us as conservative Anabaptist people, has been rocked with what's going on in Haiti, and there's children that are being held as hostages, and I trust many of you have been praying, as we have been, for that situation with the number of people being held. But a child, their prayers can be mean so much, and God hears all those. I've been places already where some people thought, prayer meeting, should we let, how long young should the children pray, and so on, and maybe their prayers do not make sense. Well, we need to teach our children to pray. That's something that needs to happen. I know situations where you think about, maybe not a 3-year-old as much, but a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old, and you hear the stories of them taking care of younger siblings because the parents are not there. They might be doing drugs and things like that, they can be really resilient, resourceful, if they have an opportunity to get something to eat, for example. Maybe they've been neglected and abandoned and things like that. But that's where, the picture I'm painting is some things that I've seen. But then we sang about the empty eyes. And have you seen children, that are hurting? That there's just, it makes you ache when you see what's in their eyes. And they're reaching hands, and You know, I've had opportunity to be in some third world countries, and well, all you have to do is go to some of our cities, and you see dirty children and whatever, and their hands are reaching for something. You know, maybe it's to eat, or well, they want to be held. That's something we sang about, and there's a fear of death that was well, verse 2. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul you to take. And that those are real situations for children in the world today, and their hope for a better day, and well, the angry guns and shattered worlds. That's the Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars, and there those things are going on. Now, I don't know if any of you know anything about this song, how it came to be or not, but there's a man by the name of Kurt Bestor wrote this song sometime in the 1990s, and he had earlier in life, maybe the late 70s, spent some time in Yugoslavia. Now, does anybody know where Yugoslavia is? Well, you might know where it was. There is nothing like that anymore, but the country of Yugoslavia was kind of put together after the several world wars. It's southeast Europe, north of Greece is where this was, and you have now I think about seven countries there now. It's not really that big of an area, but in the Balkan Mountains. And after World War II, they were a communist country. They had a strong leader, Joseph Tito, that kind of held them together. But there's Bosnians, there's Croatians, there's Serbs, and they all have different ideas, different cultures, different languages. I think it's Croatian, the phrase that we've been singing, and probably the chorus members don't even know that. You know, it's another language we know that we're singing, but it's a Croatian, can you hear the children's prayers? Can you hear the prayer of the children is what we're saying when we're singing that other phrase. But anyhow, this man was there as a missionary, and he's a musician. I think, as I read, he said he gave some piano lessons and whatever in the 80s, and that's after late 70s, and in 1980s when Tito died, but so about over that time, and things kind of hung together for about 10 years, and then things got worse, and it just blew up, like, you know, the situations we hear around the world, and people, it's almost like, you know, things you hear about the Civil War, where it was brother against brother. Well, you know, maybe somebody, a Serbian person, had a Croatian brother-in-law or whatever, and they hated each other then, and it's just... It's hard to imagine. And the children, well, you know, it depends, you know, pretty young. You know, innocence is taken away from children, some of the things that I described. But a normal child, they don't know anything about hatred. It's just not in them. And I think I'll get to that verse later on from 1 Corinthians. But that's, and so this is something that this man, Kurt Bestor, said about this, quote from him: "These children didn't hate anybody. They didn't care who owned the land or who had the power or the money." How many of us adults don't think a little bit about who has the power and the money and that land ownership? You know, I see some nice farm ground around here, and you know, if you happen to own some of that, you know, it's kind of nice to know where the neighbor's land starts and yours is and things like that. And sometimes we can get caught up with those things a bit. Well, the children don't care about that. These are adult neuroses, he says. So a neurosis is a disorder. so I believe that's kind of... And so, yeah, he says this: "They just wanted to have a mom and a dad and a place to play. And their homes were taken away. And, you know, there's so much going on." So... Can you feel that this morning? I, you know, as I've been singing this song, I feel that. Do you pray for the needs halfway around the world? Well, yeah, we've been praying for their needs in Haiti, certainly, and it's good for us, and it's good for some of us to go. Our daughter Letitia, several years ago, 2 years ago, I guess over this time, she would have still been in Greece in one of those refugee camps, and seeing the minors. Well, they were half the people you saw there, these children. And where do I have these statistics on displaced people? About 2016, there was 60 million displaced people in the world for the first time, 5 years ago. And there was 13 million from Syria alone that were displaced out of their homes. And then they say half of those are children. So, and we live in a nation where the population keeps getting older and older because there's less and less children. But a lot of places, you know, there's a lot of reasons why these things go that way. There's all these stories from so many places and of the abused and the abandoned and the mistreated and the malnourished, whatever. You know, I could go on with a list of things like that. And I'm glad that we're sheltered from it, but you know, we need to think about that. But now I want to bring it closer to home. And I don't, maybe there's people here that do foster care, and there's situations. I work with a man some that him and his wife do some foster care. And a little while ago, he just said I'm upset. He told me the morning when we got together, he said they had a boy in their home, and I think he was less than 2 years old. But somewhere around 2 years of age, and I forget how many broken bones he said, but I think it was like 20 broken bones in that little boy, and he got into foster care because somebody just beat him. And it's just like, this is hard to believe. And that was, he lived 70 miles from where we're at. I wish I could say, I know our churches are free of that type of thing. Well, I certainly hope we're free of the beating and that type of thing, but abuse, it can be emotional, it can be verbal, of course, you know, and the sexual, it does reach into our circles sometimes. I know several grandpas. One in particular, the man grew up a neighboring farm from where I did, a couple years older than me, and went through some churches and on up through, and then after a while we heard he's in prison, and it was related to something he had done with a granddaughter, and those are terrible things. My grandchildren are not afraid to get up in my lap, and you know that would be terrible if they'd be. But anyhow, you know, it's the ones that the protectors become the perpetrators, and that's a terrible thing. And so those things can, well, they can, and they do happen in our circles sometimes. And of course the scars and whatever, and yeah, you get into, well, like I said, foster care and adoption, and there's so much substance abuse now, and it affects the children's ability to think. If mom was on drugs while she was carrying the child, and angry people, you know, the Bible, I guess, gives us some right to get angry. Well, it's like, you know, we can have some passion, but, you know, the Bible does say, be angry and sin not. In other words, take care of it. And some of us would struggle more than others with anger. And so, you know, what does an angry father do to someone? I know a person, and he tells a story of, I don't know what age he was, but he's old enough to be able to drive a tractor on the farm. And I don't know what got into the dad or what made him so mad, but he threw a hitch pin. And his son was behind the tractor, and it put a dent in the seat of that backside of that tractor. Well, that should never once be named amongst us. And then, you know, you might wonder, you know, I know this person fairly well, and his dad was somebody, he looked really good. He looked right. He fit in the church setting quite well, but he didn't respect the church leaders, and so the son, you know, is it surprising to hear the son's in a different church? He's actually still in a Mennonite church, but he has trouble respecting church leaders, respecting authority, and those kind of things. And so, he did, when this person started in a horse and buggy setting, And his dad said when he got a vehicle, you know what hell is? You're going to see that. Well, I don't know. The dad had things to repent of. And him and the son get along okay now. But it's just some things like that. Well, I think I've painted enough of a picture. There's a need. Then we might ask the question, why? Where is God? Where was God? Where is he? Well, he always is walking along in the cool of the day. Think back to the garden. I'm going to take you back to the beginning. I think we know that account well enough. I'll just mention what happened there in Genesis. But in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God created man in his own image. Brothers and sisters, fellow believers here this morning, what does God look like? Well, we're created in his image. And, of course, Jesus came and walked as a man. So, and the wonderful thing about the sixth day is when you look at the end of chapter 1, it says, it talked about every day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it was good. What God had done that day, it was good. What does he say the next time? It's very good. And I happen to believe it, it's because of the creation of man that he thought, now it's very good. If I would say the garden was very good, I'm not sure that's a good enough description for that yet. Paradise beyond here, it's going to be just awesome. Here's the place to use the word awesome. And what happened? Of course, we know what happened, the fall and Satan coming in. And Genesis 3, verse 1, the Amplified says it this way. Can it really be that God has said it that way? You're not supposed to eat from that tree. Well, and bring that up today. Well, that's ridiculous. Why? And Satan went on to say, well, you'll be able to know good and evil. Well, yeah, they did. So since the fall, we've had the curse. And the things we were talking about is evidence that we're living in a cursed world. And so the light that we can bring, it's a tremendous blessing that we can be to the world. And I just thought I'd refer to several incidents where evil men and how it cost lives of children. I'll turn to Acts chapter 7 and just pick up a little bit that Stephen, this was a message, or he was sharing about God. He didn't, I don't believe he, got his notes together beforehand and all that, but he was there in front of angry men in Acts 7, and he's defending the position, and he talks about what the Jewish leaders, what they had done to Jesus, and then in verses 18 to 21, it talks about the king that arose that knew not Joseph, and the same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil and treated our fathers so that they cast out their young children. So the people, some of them, what would you do if, did this come a little more to a modern time and you're a Chinese Christian some years ago and one child, which we're a generation down the road from that, and they've got lots of problems. There's way more men than women in China. Men's ways just never work out. But here, I can imagine some people did that. They were not supposed to allow their children to grow up. And anyhow, it seemed like Moses' parents apparently had, God showed them what they should do. And so Moses was born. Verse 21 does say this, when he was cast out. And so in other words, we know he was put in the bulrushes and all that. Well, God... where was God? Well, God was at work, and we know where that story goes to. And God, of course, protected and kept Moses' life, and he was the one that finally led those people where these evil men. And we could, Pharaoh is on the same list as people like Nero and Hitler and Stalin, whatever, just totally given over to Satan. And then there's the other account in Matthew chapter 2 where Herod, King Herod, he was a man so full of hate, he killed some of his own children. And even to the very end, when he was sick and on his deathbed, I think he had one of his sons killed because he was angry about the fact that he would be the next rule, I think is what I had read. And but here again, you know, the story of Herod, Jesus was kept from harm. Joseph and Mary, where Joseph was told, take your son to Egypt. And of course, it helps to line up with some of the prophecy that was given about Jesus. So those things happened. And you know, with us, can we hear the voice of the children? Just getting back to the song that we sang. And then I found my note here that I was looking for earlier, and I have this, yeah. So, yeah, this displaced people in the world, but in the United States, yearly there's 8 million child abuse reports. So think about that, 8 million. And that's, you know, how many are not reported? You know, probably a higher number than that. Five children die every day, and half of them will be less than a year old every day from being abused. And it's just a terrible thing. And the other thing that's terrible about this, 80% of these deaths involve at least one of the parents. So can we hear the prayer of the children? Well, let's just look at things with a little more hope. I'd invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'd like to look at some of the first verses, just a few thoughts that come to me. Where is God? Well, let's have a picture of what Jesus was doing here in the beginning of chapter 18 of Matthew. Verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So these are adults thinking about their spot. But anyhow, and Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it was better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Well, we sing that children's song sometimes. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in his sight. So this picture of Jesus bringing this child, you know, what color was that child? Doesn't matter here, you know, that he loves them all the same. So what needs to be done? Well, now here is a call to what we're to be as Christians. So first of all, we need to be converted. Need to be changed. You know, if there's anyone here that is not born again and you're an adult, you need to change. You need to be converted. That's and it will help you be the person, become the person that God wants you to be. Certainly do that. Become as a child. And so what's a child like? Well, here's my note about 1 Corinthians 14 verse 20. It says not as children in wisdom, but in malice be as a child. In other words, don't hold the grudges and the things like that. So children are known to be trusting and loving and forgiving. Are we doing that as adults? You know, I've been around, this is my 64th summer, so I've been around and seen a bit. I guess I was going to say this. You know, I could be the world's worst cynic. I can become cynical when I see things going on. But God does a work. He says, you know, Leroy, you do your what you can, and there's a difference to be made, and that's for every one of you that are here. And so, in malice, be like a child, and it's time, unload all the prejudices and so on. We're in a state here where some of the Civil War was fought. Actually, I grew up in the state, not just two counties east of where the Battle of Gettysburg was fought in Pennsylvania. So, you know, that, but most of the South and Tennessee, it was known for lots of battlegrounds, and this was brother against brother for what? Well, states' rights, whatever things. You know, we hear things now. Some people said, I just heard recently saying that that with some of the things that are going on in America, the divide, well, between the two political parties and so on, it's the worst I've ever seen. Well, we're getting close to civil war. God only knows. You know, I think the time will come. Well, God's going to say, son, it's time for you to get your people. And we're getting closer to that. But are we prepared for what we might face? And so we need to unload our prejudice and just let the world know we are, who we are. And so be converted, become as a child, humble yourself. Yeah. And again, if I'm a normal human being, which, you know, some days I think I am, and others I'm not quite as sure, but it's hard. It's hard to be humble when you know you're right and the other person's wrong. And there's probably some situations like that, but well, one of the things that having seen as many birthdays as I have, you know, my sister talked about the problems, TMB, too many birthdays. And so I get humbled often. I say, I'm pretty sure. You know, well, no, I used to say, I'm sure it was that way. Now I say, I'm pretty sure. Now, and sometimes I say, okay, just to figure it out for me. How was it actually? Because I get so forgetful. But so it is a little easier to be humbled when you're my age, I think. But teenagers here, you know, think about it. You're not always right. So. Pride needs to go. And then we see the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what is true greatness? Well, we need to look at what Jesus did in Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is what we are to be, and there's opportunities for us to be hearing the prayer of the children, to help be what we need to be, and take children up in your arms as you have opportunities, and those are the things that we're to do. Now there's two things that we're not to do, and I'll read on. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It was better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, for the Son of Man is come to seek, or to save that which was lost. Yes, I think in Luke it says to seek and save, but here to save that which was lost. So don't offend. So what is an offense? The Amplified would say that causes someone to stumble and sin. That's an offense. And then they put it in brackets, this thought, entice away from right conduct or thought. So now you're thinking about, you know, if you entice a child, an innocent child, to do something that's wrong. And you know, I know if mine goes to a lady we know well, and her dad, they were people from outside the Mennonite faith, but her father figured out that these people, you know, we can live pretty good off of them. And he taught his daughter how to steal and so on. And well, she, of course, when she got older, she repented of that, and she's married and in the Mennonite faith now. It's somebody that I know personally. But, you know, what a tragedy when, again, you know, the protector becomes a perpetrator and gets this children to do things like that. And I thought of Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so nurture, the loving arms away from harm, those are things. And well, there's so much we could think about. What does nurture mean for you that have younger children, and there's lots of children around, and all of a sudden, where are the children at? You know, we need to keep an eye on things that are going on as adults. And what's admonition? Well, admonition to me is loving correction. Loving correction that needs to be done when a person's not angry. You know, I talked about an angry father earlier, and if children are always disciplined in anger, oftentimes a certain bar needs to be met, and then I'm done. You know, I'm done. And you know, if children hear that's not nurture. That's not admonition. That's just, well, and then you know, some people have a problem with the Proverbs says about beat your child. Well, that's what the King James Version says. We're not to beat them, but we're to use corporal punishment, spanking, whatever. That's biblical, but it needs to be done in the right way. Despise not these little ones. Our society that's around us as a whole is full of selfish people. I'd say anybody that doesn't want a child, there's something wrong with that picture. You know, God gave us with that desire, but children are a bother to a lot of people, and they see that you know, when they're that way. So take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. So yes, so there's so many more things I could say, and then you know, just paint that picture a little further, but in the well, what's sitting here in the confines of this church this morning, this is where, you know, the dues that I talked about, that's where it should be happening. That's where it needs to be happening. And when we can reach beyond and you know, give someone the love that's needed, and, you know, what can we do with the Afghan refugees and so on? Well, we can pray, and, yeah, and there are some people I've been able to go and help at refugee camps and so on, and I know when our daughter was over there, there's a limited amount that they could say for Christ, because, you know, government gets involved and, oh, we can't, you know, push our religion or whatever. But there's so much opportunity. You know what a smile does for people, you know, that haven't, you know, they're just seeing angry people, and every authority they're seeing, it's these guard, these people from the military and the police, they're so tired of it. They're wore out, and who knows what they're facing at home. But, you know, when we as Christians can make a huge, huge difference. And so that's what God is calling us to. Isaiah 54, I don't turn to that as often as I do Isaiah 53, but it's just a lot of promises, I think, that are there for the church age. But there's verse 13 is a beautiful verse. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Brothers and sisters, friends, everyone gathered here this morning, you know, are we providing a spot where great can be the peace of our children? That's where God wants us to be. Shall we stand together for a word of prayer at this time?